a quererte desde la histórica altura donde el sol de tu bravura le puso cerco a la muerte.
Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia.
Check. No popping sounds, no clicking sounds in the microphone is what we want right now. 1, 2, 1, 2. Checky, checky. All right. Loud and clear with no clicks. Gremlins. Be gone. Thank you, thank you.
Firmeza de tu brazo libertario.
Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara. Comandante, aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara.
The island that is silent now, but the ghosts still haunt the waves. And a torch lights up a famished man who fortune could not save. Did you work upon the railroads? Did you rid the streets of crime? Were your dollars from the White House? Where they found that five and dime? Did the old songs talk to cheer you, and did they still make you cry? Did you count the months and years, or did your teardrops quickly dry? I know for things was not to be, on a coffin ship I came here
that never even got so far that they could change my name. Thousands are sailing across the western ocean to a land of opportunity that some of them will never see. Fortune prevailing across the western ocean, their bellies full, their spirits free. They'll break the chains.
Manhattan's desert twilight, in the dead of afternoon, we stepped hand in hand on Broadway, like the first man on the moon. And a blackbird broke the silence as you whistled it so sweet. And then Brendan Behan's footsteps, I danced up and down the street.
Marcus Garvey words come to pass. Marcus Garvey words come to pass. Can't get no food to eat. Can't get no money to spend. Oh. Can't get no food to eat. Can't get no money to spend. And you, hello. Come here, one, come. Whoa. Let me do what I can. For you and you alone. Whoa. You know the right hand to eat night. Shall be tell you to write, 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 to write. I beg you.
Oh yeah, here we are. Monday afternoon, June 10th. Let's go. Happy Monday afternoon, folks. This is the Monday Afternoon Show. This is your host, Kieran Riley, till 6 p.m. So glad to be here on this cool, cool early June afternoon. It's the death day of Marcus Garvey, Marcus Mosiah Garvey. African liberationist, Pan-Africanist. He died in London, England. On this day in 1940, rest in peace, Marcus Garvey was a great inspiration for many people and still is today. Should have more on Marcus, maybe hear some stuff in his own words. There's some ancient recordings of Marcus Garvey speaking. We are in June. Second Monday in June. Hope everyone's doing well out there. First and foremost, I want to give a big shout out to my dear mother, who could very well already be in Logan Airport right now as we speak, navigating through on her way to Aer Lingus to board a flight to Ireland, the land of our descendants, good old Ireland. So we'll have some Irish music, of course, coming up. I have some Pogues coming up for my mom, wishing her a safe travels over to the Aran Islands and over to family members in Roscommon and other places as well in the beautiful green Emerald Isle. Oh, boy. Yeah, let's not get too sentimental about it here, but I love Ireland. That's all there is to it. And so go well and safely. Safe travels to my dear mom. It's the anniversary of the United States invading Cuba. We're going back, not last century, but even the century before that. We're going all the way to 1898. So in 1898, on this day, U.S. Marines begin their invasion of Cuba in the Spanish-American War. So we're going to start out with a, Che Guevara song. He was not Cuban. I think he was actually Argentinian, wasn't he now? But Che Guevara fought decisively in the Cuban Revolution. This is the Che Guevara song, Hasta Siempre, Comandante. This is a traditional version right here. Enjoy.
Guevara. mom, cause can words come to pass? Mom, cause can words come to pass? Can't get no food to eat. Can't get no money to spend. And you, hello, come here, one, come, oh, let me do what I can, for you and you alone, oh, you know the right and do it now, shall be with many strides, weeping and wailing and mourning, you got yourself to blame. I tell you, to right, 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 to right. I beg you, oh, tell you to do right.
Rest in peace, Marcus Garvey, died on this day in 1940, and Viva Cuba, and rest in peace, Che Guevara, and may the invasions stop, may colonization, neo-colonization, imperialism, neo-imperialism, and all forms of violence, particularly by that of the state, state terrorism, stop. Here's Lila June, Water is Life.
He said it's not a song, it's a way of life. It's a forever thing, it's a message. He said you can say that water is life. You can sing it again and again, but will they listen? Are we gonna stand by these words? Are we gonna find a way to change the way we're living, Mother Earth? She feels everything and it hurts. Like the moon, like the body of a woman, she is changing. Can we return to the times when water was alive, when we prayed at her edge and gave thanks for this life? When the water fell from the sky and we drank from her bosom, when the water fell from our eyes and the water fell from our womb, when it rose up to the surface and we knew every
are people of the sun, we are people of the water. We will celebrate our sons, we will celebrate our daughters. Give them ceremony so when the drought comes, they'll be ready. Solutions are part of the problem. Can't win war with war. There is more than one creation story. Worlds have died and worlds have been reborn before. When you touch the water, you touch the world. From Taos peaks to Gulf streams, the memories they hold. We sell her by foot and treat her as our captive. The rivers are undrinkable while the aquifer's extracted. Our food will need water to grow, but do you have to take it all? We try to hold her and control her as we watch our empire fall. He said it's not a song. It's a message. He said you can say that water is life. You can sing it again and again, but can you live it?
Watching, hoping, praying that this time it becomes Harlem, as done by their grandmothers, grandfathers long ago. When they spoke with animals, their smoke still floating, touching the morning prayers. Grandfathers, grandmothers, sons and daughters, me, us, the mountains and animals, covered with the morning pollen.
Thank you.
That was some beautiful music from Palestine right there. Therese Sliman with a song called Clouds, Teardrops. And that song I played partly, well, mostly because of thinking of the Palestinians right now and the recent attack on a refugee camp. Over 98 homes leveled by the Israeli army. Land, air, and sea attacks killing hundreds and hundreds of Palestinian civilians, including dozens of children, in the name of rescuing four Israeli hostages, maybe an American as well. Supposedly three other hostages were killed, including Americans. It's getting beyond crazy. But beautiful music from Palestine right there by Therese Sliman. Gorgeous stuff. And we heard as well Lila June, some indigenous music right there. And that was featuring Oliver and Jadi, some indigenous words there with Water is Life. And we heard Burning Spear with Marcus Garvey. I was able to see Burning Spear right here in this lovely, lovely neighborhood of mine in Great Barrington decades ago, over 20 years ago, at Club Helsinki before it moved to Hudson. Some of you listening may have been over to Club Helsinki in Hudson, and some of you listening may have even been to the old one when it was in Great Barrington. So that was a big loss for Great Barrington when it moved to Hudson, but a big gain for Hudson. Burning Spear, wonderful, wonderful music right there. We are going to play... Yeah, just we're doing some mellow, somewhat spiritual stuff, and we'll have some announcements. It's the Monday afternoon show, 4:30 here. Oh, happy birthday, Buddha, and happy birthday to my dear, dear wife, Christiana. Christiana, born on June 10th on this day. Happy birthday. But Buddha's birthday was celebrated yesterday at the New England Peace Pagoda, and we had the absolute privilege and honor to attend this amazing ceremony in the temple of the New England Peace Pagoda in Leverett, Massachusetts. The monks and nuns of the Nipponzon Myoji Order, a very, very special order of Japanese monks and nuns that chant and pray and walk for peace and justice. And I want to share more how that day went. It's absolutely beautiful. And there's another Peace Pagoda, the same order, in Grafton, New York. It's called the Grafton Peace Pagoda, right outside of Troy. So for all you Columbia County folks, that's closer to you. Well, here's the Song of Solomon. A song of ancient love poem right here by Yama Ensemble.
أطلب من تحب نفسي طلبته فما وجدته. أطلب من تحب نفسي طلبته فما وجدته. أطوف في المدينة في الأسواق في الشوارع فما وجدته. وفي المدينة في الأسواق في الشوارع
Song of Solomon by Yama Ensemble. And now, as promised, going out to my dear mother at Logan Airport, about to board Aer Lingus for Ireland. This is a reverse phenomenon of what this song is about, called Thousands Are Sailing by the Pogues, which documents, talks about the mass migration from Ireland to the United States for looking for a better life, stemming from the time of the Great Hunger on Gorta Mór, where the Irish were starved by the English occupation, and a potato crop failure was the straw that broke the camel's back, and millions perished, millions died, hundreds of thousands died in coffin ships that were sent across the ocean, those who made it onto ships never to reach land and were thrown overboard. But now people like my mom going back to Ireland to rejuvenate, looking for a break from the craziness over here in the land of empire. And thousands are sailing back to Ireland, thousands from other countries as well. And there's a whole immigration situation, as in many countries right now. I'll let the Pogues take it from here.
Silent now, but the ghosts still haunt the waves, and a torch lights up a famished man who fortune could not save. Did you work upon the railroads? Did you rent the streets of crime? Were your dollars from the White House? Were they from the five and dime? The old songs taught to cheer you, and the good still
different years, or did your teardrops quickly dry? I know the things was not to be on a coffin ship. I came here and I never even got so far that they could change my name. Thousands are sailing across the western ocean to a land of opportunity that some of them will never see. Fortune prevailing across the western ocean, their bellies full, their spirits free. They'll break the chains of poverty. In Manhattan's desert twilight, in the dead of afternoon, we stepped hand in hand on Broadway, like the first man on the moon. And a blackbird broke the silence as you whistled, it's so sweet. And then Brendan Behan's footsteps, I danced up and down the street. And we said goodnight to Broadway, giving it our best regards. Tipped our hats to Mr. Cohen, dear old Times Square's favorite bird. Then we raised a glass to JFK and a dozen more besides. When I got back to my empty room, I suppose I must have cried. Thousands of sailing again across the ocean, with a hand of opportunity, just tickets in a lottery. Postcards are mailing the skyline skies and oceans from rooms that daylight never sees. And lights don't glow on Christmas trees. I'm dancing to the music of dance.
Thousands are sailing by the Pogues. Going out to my mom, heading out to Ireland right now. Well, tonight. So more on the Buddhist monks from the Leveret Peace Pagoda, the Nipunzo Myoji of monks. One of the monks, Timothy Shonin, was in Washington, D.C. and had barely made it to Buddha's birthday celebration yesterday. by taking a bus from Washington, D.C., making it to 4 o'clock in the morning. These folks, these monks, are dedicated, dedicated people. And this is part of a giant protest in Washington, D.C., called the Red Line Protest. Biden, we are your red line. I think Joe Biden is colorblind because he says there's something about a red line, but I think it all just seems green to him because, like when you're colorblind, red seems green, I think. Because there apparently, to the Biden administrations, there is absolutely no such thing as a red line. It does not exist, and Israel continues to be able to do whatever they want to do so long as the United States says they can, which the United States says they can. That means the U.S. government, not all of us. But we have on the line right now from beautiful downtown Chatham, New York, Wayne Coe. How goes it, Wayne?
Excellent, excellent. And I had the privilege of going to Washington, D.C. and joining the Red Line protest. I can tell you it was immensely peaceful, gorgeous weather, lots of people, the most organized, a clearly projected message that I've ever seen. The central conceit, the central graphic signifier was a red banner, about a 3-foot paper banner that they wrapped around the entire circumference of the blockaded and black-gated White House. And they had patiently, lovingly written the victims' names and their age by the thousands on this large paper red banner. So if you were up close, you got one level of impact. If you stepped back, you know, for cameramen and so forth, you got an additional kind of second reading of the red line. The speakers included Jill Stein, the socialist presidential candidate Claudia, and many, many others, lots of Palestinian representatives, youth representatives. I was there by virtue in the generosity of the Answer Coalition and PSL Albany, who got the bus together so that we could all go down.
Well, good for you for attending, Wayne, for attending the rally in Washington, D.C., bearing witness to the atrocities committed through the funding of the U.S. government. As a representative of Columbia County, you know, maybe not all in Columbia County will agree that that's representative.
It was a full bus. I've been to 3 protests against this genocide going on, and I think the fact that the ICC, the United Nations, many international bodies are now not just using the term genocide, but helping explain to the general public, you know, what a genocide is and why this fits so perfectly to it. In America, it's very difficult, and I have to kind of raise my hand and say I'm partially guilty. We have endless representations of media and so forth that Israel is a democracy, which is completely not true. It's an apartheid state. In general, anyone who's not Jewish has no rights, has no vote. It falls into the Genocide Convention, which talks about the eradication of a people in part or in whole because of their national, religious, ethnic, or racial characteristics. And certainly, virtually all of those apply to why the Palestinians are being erased historically and now physically.
Yeah, I mean, these are compelling legal arguments, and it's just absolute shame that as we sit here and debate and talk about and converse about the technicalities of ethnic cleansing versus genocide versus, you know, all these other terms, that as we speak, the bombs rain down on the Palestinian people. Children are being killed on a daily basis, and, you know, like, it's just... Wow. It's just to see this unfold before our eyes on basically on live TV, you know, is what we're seeing.
Well, you're seeing a perfect schism. Like, you can look on legacy media, you know, NBC, ABC, from the Wall Street Journal to the New York Times, and see most of it blacked out, and hear completely lies, propaganda about, you know, beheaded babies and raped women, of which there is no evidence. The UN went there. Israel couldn't provide a victim. They couldn't provide forensic evidence. It was a complete fraud. But this war propaganda that's supposed to incite, I guess, you know, bloodlust to kill, isn't real. And the real stuff, you know, the number of children and women killed, 43,000 killed, 81,000 severely injured, according to the EuroMed Human Rights Monitor, as of May 14th, 667 schools. So all, no, 667, sorry, mosques, all gone. 400 and something like 50 schools. Every school and university demolished, demolition. And so one struggles, or at least I struggle to, you know, come up with a comparison. Lots of people talk about the Nazis, but there is no history of this kind of expeditious assassination, even when we look back to the Nazis. It's very difficult to frame it, but Martin Luther King in Where Do We Go From Here, his 1967 book, wrote about over 50 church bombings, he said, in the last 2 years, so in 65 and 66. So this is post the signing of the civil rights legislation. 50 churches were bombed in the U.S. I'd never heard that statistic, but here we have 667 mosques blown up in 8 months. So, you know, I've heard comparisons to the KKK. This is 10 times, you know, the 13 times as many church destructions, you know, which kind of it gives you a profile of who the Israeli government is and what they represent. And it's good that public media can now entertain these, you know, these analogies and these connections. I'll tell you, if I can, a very short story. I'm down there. I had a large banner that said, NICET teachers, you can't hide NICET's funding genocide, which basically means that the teachers' retirement system is invested in the contractors that are killing children in Gaza. And it listed some of the statistics I'm talking about, and it listed the companies. And I've got this big sign, and people would walk up, and they would read it. They would spend time getting the information, and they'd go, thank you. You know, like I'd done something honorable. So I've got this big sign. I'm thinking, I'm walking around killing some time before the protest, and I walk by. The first building I hit is the Holocaust Museum. And I go, gosh, the Holocaust Museum. Somehow that seemed very relevant. And so I go up, and on the outside of it is this large granite engraved plaque that says, you know, civilized people must never forget to speak up against the terrible crime of genocide. And I'm like, well, okay. So according to that, I'm supposed to speak up against genocide. So I sit there and I set up the camera, auto shoot, little 10-second delay, and I go to film myself with my banner by the Holocaust Museum. And the guards, no, you can't have any banners here. No, you can't. What are you protesting? You can't protest. And they block me. And so I'm like thinking about this going, huh, well maybe, and I was in front of the building. So I said, maybe later I'll come back. Maybe the guards will be lower profile. And I go to the back and they go, well, you can't bring that banner in here and da-da-da. And so I set up my camera, went and shot a picture of me pointing at the never again sign, and then walked back, reset it, and I'm walking back and unfurling my banner, and the guards rush me. You know, here I am doing exactly what this granite edifice orders me to do. Do not be silent if you're civilized about genocide. And here is the state that has this, you know, large granite museum about, you know, one Holocaust, preventing me from drawing a connection to the current Holocaust. And it made me ask the question, like, is this giant granite building kind of a cudgel to say there's only one genocide you can talk about? You may not talk about the genocide of the Native Americans. You may not talk about the genocide of the slave Africans under slavery. You may not talk about the ongoing current genocide of Palestine. Like, is the Holocaust Museum quite the opposite of what it appears? Is it a form of a giant institutional silencing mechanism?
I'd say that's a legitimate question, and this brings up, you know, a whole another area of the conversation where people who don't really know how to take a stance in this situation use words like it's touchy, it's very sensitive, or it's very complicated. When you hear someone say it's complicated, it means we have a problem. And the problem is it's so ingrained since 1948 into the American psyche, and it ignores all the older traditions of history, that historical tradition of the Jewish people to resist. And the interesting thing here, the very interesting thing here is, to me, that I feel so relieved in a way, but also just, you know, the whole thing is sad, but so relieved that the Jewish groups, Jewish Voices for Peace, Jewish groups that have spoken up, who have taken a stand, who know that this is not how they were raised to support something that like this that's going on in Palestine. Absolutely, kudos to the Jewish people, the rebellious spirit of the Jewish people in America in particular, I think is a stronger force, although we may not hear those voices as much in the mainstream.
Just towards the about halfway through, a group of Hasidic Jews with large banners, sandwich board banners that said, you know, Israel is Zionism, it's not Judaism, form this kind of wall of fur-hatted, you know, stockinged, I think, Hasidic Jews. So there was a, you know, a small manifestation of Orthodox Jewish resistance to, you know, the racist actions of the Zionist Israel. And there, you know, I'm not going to get into it, but, you know, the contested word Zionism is not contested internationally. The UN passed Resolution 3379 saying Zionism is racism, Zionism is discrimination. And as a result, the American Zionist Pact changed their name to AIPAC to take off Zionism, because educated people knew what Zionism was. It was this extremely hostile, racist, colonial manifestation out of nationalism, out of anti-Semitism, and what was the third one? Edward Said had a lovely triplet.
Out of the tradition of the English Empire.
Colonialism.
Exactly. It's called the Balfour Declaration.
Yes, the Balfour Declaration.
So, all right. Well, we're just about up to the 5 o'clock hour. I appreciate you calling in, as always, Wayne. I know for folks this may be a little bit controversial, but this is what we need to be talking about, what we're seeing.
It was a fantastic protest. It was completely peaceful. It was so well organized. By far the sweetest, most beautifully executed job of any protest I've been to. But it took like 24 hours before the mainstream media gave any reports. And unlike Al Jazeera and Turkish media and foreign medias that were interviewing, you know, people like me, people who were there, people who were investing their time and love and money and presence, performative presence, they wouldn't. Most of them were pundits, you know, reporters doing talking points of the state versus, you know, what they saw in signs.
All right, we're going to go with we're going with Linton Kwesi Johnson having the last word here. Thanks again, Wayne Coe, for calling.
Thank you. Bye bye. Get ready to get some behold.
days of the truncheon and those nights of melancholy locked in a cell. Those hours of torture touching hell. Those blows that caused my heart to swell were well numbered and are now at an end. All we're doing is defending, so get ready. The war, war, freedom is a very short time. All oppression can do is bring passion to the heights of eruption, and songs of fire will sing. No, no, no run. You did sound your siren and it war now. War, war, war. Special patrol will fall like a wall for stone or a town turned to dust. Even though them keep them bold, we know them cold like ice with fear and with fire. Choose your weapon, them quick. All we need is bottles and bricks and sticks. We have this, we have feet, we carry dynamite in the deep. Send feed the riot squad quick, cause we're running wild. Bitter like bile, blood will guide their way. And I say, all we're doing is defending, so get you ready. The war, war, freedom is a very firm thing.
Picture this, saving up to 10% when you bundle your home and auto insurance.
Right now, I would like to recite a poem in the form of a letter written from prison in England to a mother somewhere in the Caribbean. The writer of this letter is trying to explain to his mother the circumstances of his imprisonment with his younger brother. Sonny's letter. London, South West 2, England. Dear Mama, good day. I hope that when these few lines reach you, they may find you in the best of health. Mama, I really don't know how to tell you this, cause I didn't make a solid promise to take care of little Jim and try my best to look out for him. Mama, I really did try my best, but nonetheless, I'm sorry to tell you, sir, poor little Jim, get a rest. It was the middle of the rush hour, when everybody just a hustle and a bustle to go home for them evening shower. Me and Jim stand up waiting for a bus, not causing no fuss, when all of a sudden, a policeman pull up. Out drunk three policemen, the whole of them carrying baton. Them walk straight up to me and Jim. One of them hold on to Jim, say I'm taking him in. Jim tell him to let go of him, for him not do nothing, and him not teeth, not even a button. Well, Jim start to wriggle, the police start to giggle. Mama, make I tell you what them do to Jim. Mama, make I tell you what them do to him.
Them thump him in the belly and it turn to jelly. Them lick him pon him back and him rib get pop. Them lick him pon him head but it tough like lead. Them kick him in him seed and it started to bleed. Mama, I just couldn't stand up there and I do nothing. So me took one in him eye and him started to cry. Me thump one in him mouth and him started to shout. Me kick one pon him shin and him started to spin. Me thump him pon him chin and him drop on a bin and crash. And then Mama, more policemen come down and beat me to the ground. Them charged him with sus. Them charged me with murder. Mama.
On the move. It's been 2 years now into the Obama administration. And despite the hopes of millions who voted for him, the wars are getting worse, not better. The Obama administration is engaged in more predator attacks than the Bush administration, and there are rumblings for a war with Iran. Meanwhile, the anti-war movement has been quiescent, as if Obama bombs are somehow better than Bush bombs. Isn't it time to heighten the anti-war movement? War poisons everything, for the state expands its reach and powers through war. Now is the time. Now is the season. Anti-imperialism is the perfect reason. Iraq, Afghanistan were false wars for oil, and it's about time to bring the anti-war movement to a boil. These wars aren't against foreign countries. They're against you, your jobs, your communities, your schools, your civil liberties. These wars have resulted in so-called black sites, secret prisons, torture, extraordinary rendition, attacks on Arab Americans and American Muslims, equally under Bush and Obama. They have bankrupted the treasury, destabilized the region, and created the conditions for horrific blowback. So, ain't it about time to say this chant? Now is the time. Now is the season. Anti-imperialism is the perfect reason. Iraq, Afghanistan were false wars for oil. It's time to bring the anti-war movement to a boil. Thank you. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Open your eyes, see, because the revolution will be televised.
And we are back on the Monday afternoon show. Welcome back for another hour of me and music and audio and callers and what have you. So thanks for listening. And as I have been saying since the beginning, I want to give a special shout out to my dear mother in Logan Airport, ready to board Aer Lingus off to the Emerald Isle of Ireland. And I believe she is indeed listening. We played the Pogues, Thousands Are Sailing, and lots of other music from Palestine and all around the world. We heard Linton Kwesi Johnson with All We Doin' Is Defending right after Wayne Coe's report on the Red Line protest in Washington, D.C. Biden, where is your red line? Or is it just talk? Well, here's an interesting group. All kinds of mix of folks from around the world in the Muslim tradition. This is Salatu Ala Salamu Ala. Quite an amazing epic song. Hope you enjoy.
بمحمد دامت لنا الأفراح بمحمد دامت لنا الأفراح فإذا تلونا ذكره وحديثه
Oh,
was Salatu Ala Salamu Ala.
It's better out.
And that was quite a compilation of musical artists, really from around the world. We have the singer from Malaysia. The origin of the song is from Indonesia. The chorus, the choral people in the background were from Sarajevo in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And performing as well were Sufi twirlers who were Turkish. So quite a mix there. I would like to play this Irish politician who really just can't take it anymore. And good for him for showing emotions in a time when it may not be kosher in certain circumstances to show emotions, professional circumstances, political circumstances, and what have you. But here's Thomas Gould, the Irish politician. Here's what he has to say.
When you look at the photographs and the pictures and the videos that come from there, and you hear the screams of people screaming as the Israeli government burned men, women and children alive. They burn them alive. And the world stands by while 15,000 children are being slaughtered. 35,000 men and women and children. And it's unbelievable. The genocide that's happening. A child with no head. And the Israeli government say it's a mistake. A mistake. I hope that Benjamin Netanyahu burns in hell the same way them children and their families burned. I hope him and his generals and the Farai government in Israel, that when their God finally brings him to the resting place, that he deserves to burn in hell. Because what is happening now, not alone is it apartheid, not alone is it atrocity and a war crime, it's just horrific. It's just horrific what they're doing. Where is their soul? Where is the soul of the Israeli people? After everything the Jewish people have suffered down over the decades, that they would allow their government to do this to other human beings. Human beings. But in the eyes of Netanyahu and this far-right Israeli government, Palestinians are human beings. But today here, the Irish people say, we recognise Palestine. Shame on Israel. Shame on what they've done. And will never be forgotten.
My song for you this evening, it's not to make you sad, not for adding to the sorrows of this troubled northern land. But lately I've been thinking, and it just won't leave my mind, to tell you of two friends one time who were both good friends of mine. Alan Bell from Bena, he lived just across the fields, a great man for the music and the dancing and the reels. O'Malley came from South Armagh to court young Alice Fair, and we'd often meet on the Ryan Road, and the laughter filled the air. There were roses, roses, there were roses, and the tears of the people ran together. Though Alan, he was Protestant, and John was Catholic born, It never made a difference, for the friendship it was strong. And sometimes in the evening, when we heard the sound of drums, we said it won't divide us, we will always be the one. For the ground our fathers plowed in, the soil it is the same, and the places where we say our prayers have just got different names. We talked about the friends who died, and we hope there'd be no more. It's little then we realized the tragedy in store. There were roses, roses, there were roses, and the tears of the people ran together. It was on a Sunday morning when the awful news came round. Another killing has been done just outside Newrytown. We knew that Alan danced up there, we knew he liked the band. But when we heard that he was dead, we just could not understand. We gathered at the graveside on that cold and rainy day, and the minister, he closed his eyes and he prayed for no revenge. And all the ones who knew him from along the Ryan Road, they bowed their heads and said a prayer for the resting of his soul. There were roses, roses, there were roses, and the tears of the people ran together. Well, fear had filled the countryside, there was fear in every home, when the car of death came prowling round the lonely Ryan Road. A Catholic would be killed tonight to even up the score. Oh Christ, it's young O'Malley that they've taken from the door. Alan was my friend, he cried, he begged them with his fear. But centuries of hatred, of ears that cannot hear. An eye for an eye was all that filled their mind, and another eye for another eye till everyone is blind. There were roses, roses, there were roses, and the tears of the people ran together. So my song for you this evening, it's not to make you sad, nor for adding to the sorrows of this troubled northern land. But lately I've been thinking, and it just won't leave my mind, to tell you of two friends one time who were both good friends of mine. I don't know where the moral is or where the song should end, but I wonder just how many wars are fought between good friends. And those that give the orders are not the ones to die. It's Mel and O'Malley and the likes of you and I. There were roses, roses, there were roses, and the tears of the people run together. There were roses, roses, there were roses.
There Is No Hierarchy of Oppressions by Audre Lorde. I was born black and a woman. I am trying to become the strongest person I can become, to live the life I have been given, and to help effect change toward a livable future for this earth and for my children. As a Black, lesbian, feminist, socialist, poet, mother of two, including one boy and member of an interracial couple, I usually find myself part of some group in which the majority defines me as deviant, difficult, inferior, or just plain wrong. From my membership in all of these groups, I have learned that oppression and the intolerance of difference come in all shapes and sizes and colors and sexualities, and that among those of us who share the goals of liberation and a workable future for our children, there can be no hierarchies of oppression. I have learned that sexism, a belief in the inherent superiority of one sex over all others and thereby its right to dominance, and heterosexism, a belief in the inherent superiority of one pattern of loving over all others and thereby its right to dominance, both arise from the same source as racism, a belief in the inherent superiority of one race over all others and thereby its right to dominance. Oh, says a voice from the Black community, but being Black is normal. Well, I and many Black people of my age can remember grimly the days when it didn't used to be. I simply do not believe that one aspect of myself can possibly profit from the oppression of another part of my identity. I know that my people cannot possibly profit from the oppression of any other group which seeks the right to peaceful existence. Rather, we diminish ourselves by denying to others what we have shed blood to obtain for our children. And those children need to learn that they do not have to become like each other in order to work together for a future they will all share. The increasing attacks upon lesbians and gay men are only an introduction to the increasing attacks upon all Black people. For wherever oppression manifests itself in this country, Black people are potential victims. And it is a standard of right-wing cynicism to encourage members of oppressed groups to act against each other. And so long as we are divided because of our particular identities, we cannot join together in effective political action. Within the lesbian community, I am Black, and within the Black community, I am a lesbian. Any attack against Black people is a lesbian and gay issue, because I and thousands of other Black women are part of the lesbian community. Any attack against lesbians and gays is a Black issue, because thousands of lesbians and gay men are Black. There is no hierarchy of oppression. It is not accidental that the Family Protection Act, which is virulently anti-woman and anti-Black, is also anti-gay. As a Black person, I know who my enemies are. And when the Ku Klux Klan goes to court in Detroit to try and force the Board of Education to remove books the Klan believes hint at homosexuality, then I know I cannot afford the luxury of fighting one form of oppression only. I cannot afford to believe that freedom from intolerance is the right of only one particular group, and I cannot afford to choose between the fronts upon which I must battle these forces of discrimination wherever they appear to destroy me. And when they appear to destroy me, it will not be long before they appear to destroy you.
Okay, I want to talk about Ireland. Specifically, I want to talk about the Fanon, about the fact that there never really was one. There was no Fanon. See, Irish people were only allowed to eat potatoes. All of the other food, meat, fish, vegetables, was shipped out of the country under armed guard to England while the Irish people starved. And then, in the middle of all this, they gave us money not to teach our children Irish. And so we lost our history. And this is what I think is still hurting me. You see, we're like a child that's been battered, has to drive itself out of its head because it's frightened, still feels all the painful feelings. But they lose contact with the memory, and this leads to massive self-destruction, alcoholism, drug addiction, all desperate attempts at running. And in its worst form becomes actual killing. And if there ever is gonna be healing, there has to be remembering and then grieving so that there then can be forgiven. There has to be knowledge and understanding. You mustn't kill more than 10% of a nation, because to do so causes permanent psychological damage.
was it fun? We lost all of more than 10% of our nation through deaths on land or in ships of emigration. But what finally broke us is not starvation, no, it's using the controlling of our education. Schools go on about Black 47, on and on about the terrible famine. But what they don't say is, in truth, there really never was one.
Oh, lonely people, where did they all come from? Oh, oh, all the lonely people, where did they all belong?
So let's take a look, shall we? The highest statistics of child abuse in the AEC, and we say we're a Christian country. We've lost contact with our history. See, we used to worship God as a mother. We're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Look at all our old men in the pubs. Look at all our young people on drugs. We used to worship God as a mother. Now look at what we're doing to each other. We've even made killers of ourselves, the most childlike, trusting people in the universe. And this is what's wrong with us. Our history books, the parent figures lied to us. I see the Irish as a race like a child that got itself bashed in the face. And if there ever is gonna be healing, there has to be remembering and then grieving, so that there then can be a forgiving. There has to be knowledge and understanding.
Oh, quenched in a woman's blood. Nor youth nor rage could move despair from slaughtered crimson blood.
Is engaged in more predator attacks than the Bush administration, and there are rumblings for a war with Iran. Meanwhile, the anti-war movement has been quiescent, as if Obama bombs are somehow better than Bush bombs. Isn't it time to heighten the anti-war movement? War poisons everything, for the state expands its reach and powers through war. Now is the time. Now is the season. Anti-imperialism is the perfect reason. Iraq, Afghanistan were false wars for oil, and it's about time to bring the anti-war movement to a boil. These wars aren't against foreign countries. They're against you, your jobs, your communities, your schools, your civil liberties. These wars have resulted in so-called black sites, secret prisons, torture, extraordinary rendition, attacks on Arab Americans and American Muslims, equally under Bush and Obama. They have bankrupted the treasury, destabilized the region, and created the conditions for horrific blowback. So, ain't it about time to say this chant? Now is the time. Now is the season. Anti-imperialism is the perfect reason. Iraq, Afghanistan were false wars for oil. It's time to bring the anti-war movement to a boil. Thank you. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Open your eyes, because the revolution will be televised. I gained support, I came to court, because the judge didn't even budge, didn't even look at him, shrugged and shook at him. He gave him life and threw the book at him. It's sad because I mean...
This news...
Business needs.
Thank you.
Peltier. Hey, Leonard, happy birthday, brother. You might not be able to get pardoned, but you're free on the inside, brother, because you got the spiritual ways connected to you, brother. And you're making us free, feel free, whether we're in the Iron House or not, because you make it happen for the people. You show what we can do, or no matter what circumstances or where we're at in our lives, you know, and we appreciate that in a good way. And many more birthdays for you. Happy birthday. Oh.
Oh.
Frankie Rivera right there. That's Frankie Rivera with an honor song for Leonard Peltier. So in the news, Leonard Peltier will be granted a parole hearing. This is a Native American activist from the 1970s who was incarcerated and convicted and held and imprisoned. He was since 1977. So today is a parole hearing again being held for this political prisoner. Amnesty International has urged the U.S. Parole Commission to grant this man, who's now 79 years old, parole on humanitarian grounds. Leonard Peltier was a member of the American Indian Movement. And he was convicted of his involvement of killing two FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, the Sioux standoff with these FBI agents coming onto Native American land were killed. The case was full of holes. There was false testimony. There was lies. There was absolute constitutional questions throughout this entire case. I mean, if you know anything about the Leonard Peltier case, then you would know that there's absolutely no reason this man should have been imprisoned for this long. Peltier was convicted in connection with the 1975 shooting of the two FBI agents, but evidence showed the prosecutors knowingly presented false statements to a Canadian court to extradite Peltier. They manufactured the murder weapon, the gun, and the shell casing entered into the evidence. They didn't match, and this was hidden from the jury, and the entire number of other constitutional violations in the case were blatantly shown to be just disgusting in the so-called criminal justice system of the United States, which so many people have so much faith in. We heard from Mumia Abu-Jamal live from Death Row. Mumia on the move. Mumia Abu-Jamal's message to the United Peace Conference. That was under Obama, a black president of the United States, who was, by the way, given the Nobel Peace Prize. I'd love to hear what Mumia Abu-Jamal has to say about that. But somehow, because it's a black, democratic, liberal president, that their bombing of other countries and women and children in other places is somehow okay, than someone like Trump or George Bush in the case of that talk by Mumia Abu-Jamal. So anyway, we're wrapping up the Monday afternoon show. Yes, sometimes we get a little political here, a little bit, just a little. We heard Sinead O'Connor. That's going out to my mom, too. She's going to visit Roscommon and the Famine Memorial there. But Sinead O'Connor with her song Famine. She talks about how the famine never actually happened, that it was a starvation of colonial imperialistic devices. Very interesting song by Sinead O'Connor right there. The Grahan Sisters before that with Wexford Massacre. We heard read excerpt by Audre Lorde. There is no hierarchy of oppression. And then we heard Nai Barghouti, Mum, Sing to the Wind, and Palestinian music. We heard In Your Name by Therese Sliman. Once again, we heard another song by Therese Sliman from Palestine with In Your Name. And we are just about out of time, and we're not going to be able to play this full song, but here's Immortal Technique with Industrial Revolution. Thanks for listening. This is Kieran here with you, signing off. It's been yet another wonderful Monday afternoon celebrating in Greene and Columbia and South Berkshire counties our presence here and how lucky we are to have life and the beautiful surroundings that we have, and hopefully community and people, community radio. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM on your dial. Catch you all next week. Summer solstice is coming up. Summer's here. Let's go. Take care.
Bling bling era was cute, but it's about to be done. I leave you full of clips like the moon blocking the sun. My metaphors are dirty like herpes, but harder to catch, like an escape tunnel in prison. I started from scratch, and now these parasites want a percent of my ass cap. Trying to control perspective like an acid flashback. But here's a quotable for every single record exec. Get your f-ing hands out my pocket like Malcolm X. But this ain't a movie, I'm not a fan or a groupie, and I'm not the type of cat you can afford to miss if you shoot me. Curse the heavens and laugh when the sky electrocutes me. Immortal technique stuck in your thoughts, darkening dreams. No is me, they just got better marketing schemes. I lead you to your own destruction like sparking a fiend. Cause you got jealousy in your voice like Starscream, and that's the point. I've been nice since got killed over 8 ball jackets and Reebok pumps that didn't do for the sneaker. I'm a heat seeker with features that'll reach through the speaker and murder counter revolutionaries personally. Break a thermometer and force feed his kids mercury. A&R's tried jerking me, thinking they call shots. Offered me a deal and a blanket full of smallpox. You're all getting shot, you little fick. I'm treacherous. This is the business, and y'all ain't getting nothing for free. And if you devils play broke, then I'm taking your company. You could call it reparations or restitution. Lock and load, industrial revolution. I want $53 million for my calloused hands, like Joe Bush administration gave to the Taliban. And I'm packing grams. Learn to speak and behave. You want to spend 20 years as a government slave? 2 million people in prison, keep the government paid. Stuck in a 6x8 cell, alive in a grave. I was made by revolution to speak to the masses. Deep in the club, toast the truth. Reach for your glasses, I'll burn an orphanage just to bring heat to you bastards. Innocent, deep in the casket. Colombian fashion, intoxicated off the flow like Doug's passion. You motherfuckers will never get.